Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons coming to you live with the Woman to Woman Show, and I'm excited. It's a good day. It is a good day to be alive, to give God some glory. Are you giving God glory today? Well, I'm excited about today. Today I have asked my guest from last week, Melissa Ewell Miller, the author of Trinity's Hope and the founder of Manfast, to come back and be our guest for the first half an hour of the broadcast on today. So what I want you to do is get on the phone, go to Facebook, go to your phone contact list, text somebody, email somebody, and let them know to tune in to blogtalkradio.com/power or by calling 646-652-4832. They can listen also. Tell them to tune in to Woman Show with Pastor Rebecca Simmons with her special guest, Melissa Ewell Miller. I tell you, we had an awesome time on last week. If you missed the show last week, you can go back and listen to the archives. But today, Melissa Miller is coming for the first half an hour. I asked her to give me at least 30 minutes on today so that we could continue talking about her book, Trinity's Hope, and a great book for young people, and also about the upcoming Manfast. And I want you to call in. You see, I have posted on the show page, do you need a Manfast? Do you personally need a Manfast? So I want you to just ask yourself that question and prepare to call in as we move forward with the broadcast on today. So I'm going to be bringing our guests on the air shortly, and I want to go ahead and open in prayer. Let us pray. And then again, continue to call in, continue to let people know, encourage them to call in. Pastor Anthony Simmons will be with us shortly after the 1:30 hour in order to enhance our marriages with the marriage moment. So I'm excited. I am excited about what God is going to do on today. So let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you. We magnify your name. Oh God, you are worthy to be praised. There's none like you. And we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise just because of who you are. Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing and being glad in it. I just ask, Father God, that you have your way during this next 2 hours. Let your will be done. Touch every woman, touch every man that listens, Father God. Give us a will to know your will. Give us a desire to know your will, Father God. Talk to us about our relationships. Talk to us about our relationships with the men in our lives. Talk to us about our relationships with each other. Talk to us about what it is that you would have us to do and be for you in this life that you have given us to live. Father, bless my guests. Bless each and every caller, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just ask that you have your way, God. Have your way. Have your way. Let your will be done. Not our will, but let your will be done during these moments that we are on the air. Lord, we just love you on today, and we bless your name. We worship you on today, God. You alone are worthy. There's none like you, Lord. We worship you. You alone are worthy. You are worthy. You're worthy, O God. You're worthy, O God. Hallelujah. We bless your name, O God. We come, Father God, to do your will, O God. We come to meet with each other, to hear your will, Lord. And we just ask, Father God, that you be magnified during this time, God. Be magnified in the chat room, oh God. Be magnified on the switchboard, oh God. Be magnified during this time that we are together. Lord, we just love you on today, God. Without you, there is no us. Bless Melissa Ewell Miller. Bless each and every person that's already on the switchboard. Bless those who will come into the chat room, Father God, as the chat room has been opened up, oh Lord. Bless those who will listen to the archives, oh God. Let us get our spiritual houses in order, oh God. We know that we are spiritual stone being built up into a godly house, Father God, for your glory and for your honor. So, Lord, just help us to be all that you have ordained for us to be as we walk and live this life. In you we move and live and have our being. And we're just so grateful, God. We're just so grateful that you chose us to do the assignments that you gave us to do. So we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that we pray. Amen and praise God. Hallelujah. God is just so good. I'm just so excited about what God is going to do today. Our special guest, Melissa Ewell Miller. She's the author of Trinity's Hope, a novel for young people and older people as well, for singles and married people, mothers and fathers, to share this story with their young people, with the young people in their lives. And maybe too, you too can be inspired to live your life the way that God has ordained for you to live your life. So I'm going to bring my guest on the air in just a minute. I want to make an announcement. I want to make a couple of announcements, and then I'll bring Ms. Miller on the air. She's already here. Again, call somebody, get in touch with somebody, and tell them to tune in to the Woman to Woman show. Go on Facebook, put it on your Facebook page. We are on the air, and you do not want to miss what God is going to say on today. Listen, we have a couple of things coming up at our ministry. I want to invite you to come over to New Creation Christian Ministries on the 17th. That's not this upcoming Friday, but next Friday we'll be celebrating our fifth year anniversary. We'll also be having a pastoral appreciation services on that night. So if you never met me and you want to come over and be a blessing to myself and my husband, we ask that you come over and just show us that what we're doing means something to you. We encourage you to come out and be a part of that celebration as we celebrate our anniversary and as the people have an opportunity to celebrate my husband and myself. We're just following the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We just know that God has some great things in store for us going forward, and we just want to give you all an opportunity to come out and celebrate with us. That's 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. And also, I want to invite you to come to the conference call on the 25th of this month, the Woman to Woman Empowerment Group, WWEG, conference call that will be hosted by me, yours truly, and we're going to have a time of fellowship, testimonies, maybe somebody will render a song. We're going to have a time of empowerment, and I will be preaching the word on that conference call, and that's coming up on the 25th, 25th, I believe it is, the 25th, which is a Saturday night, the 25th of June. And then, look, if you're in North Carolina, we invite you to come out this upcoming Wednesday to the Tri-Faith Ministries. We're going to have a leadership conference with our apostle, Matthew Tillery, the leadership conference. There's some awesome speakers, apostles, prophets coming out, and you don't want to miss it. If you're in the Rocky Mount, North Carolina area, we invite you to come out. Amen and praise God. So that's it for now. Look, come to Facebook, connect with me, Pastor Rebecca Simmons, on Facebook. I do empowerment moments at least 3-4 times a week. You want to subscribe to that on YouTube so that you can be empowered to keep moving forward. And I want to just go ahead and bring my guest on because she's here, and I don't want to keep her waiting any longer. God bless you, Melissa. Welcome to the Woman to Woman show on today.
Hello. Thank you. How are you today?
I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Just blessed, Melissa. I took a hit yesterday, but I was still praising God, and I'm still praising him on today. I am blessed. How are you?
I am great. I'm doing really, really great. I'm on the run, in the car, in between classes, but I really just wanted to be here today, and I appreciate you again for the opportunity and the platform. I'm just so thrilled to be able to share with your people, your listeners today. Thank you so much.
Amen. Praise God. You're welcome. I wanted you to come back. I had you on the last hour on last week, and that just wasn't enough time. And then I wanted you to come back for the first half an hour on this week, as long as you can stay, because I want to talk a little bit more. I know we talked about your book on last week, Trinity's Hope and the Mission. And I just want to just go, want you to just go over and just talk a little bit more about the mission. And then I want you to also talk about the upcoming manifest and everything that the Lord has put on your heart. I just want to give you that platform. I do have a lot of people tuning into the archives, and people were blessed from last week's broadcast. So I want to welcome everybody in the chat room, Gazelle and Ms. Dana Neal in the chat room, and all of those who are already on the switchboard, welcome you to the Woman to Woman show on today. We have Melissa Ewell Miller, that's E-W-E-L-L Miller, Melissa Ewell Miller. Am I saying your name correctly?
You know, actually, you can say it both ways, but we usually say Ewell, like Jewel without the J, so Ewell, but I answer to both.
Okay, it's easier for me to say Ewell without butchering it. So
I'm gonna.
Amen. Because I just had a hard time trying to say you. I can't say Jewel either. So, you know, it's just something that I inherited from my wonderful mother, the Southern twang, and then you mix it with the city slickster. It's like trying to get it all together, trying to get the Northern and the Southern coming together. Sometimes I trip over myself. But you know what? I am who I am, and I am who I am created me to be, and I love me.
That's right. Well, I'm just thankful that somebody's calling my name.
Amen. Amen. Well, God is calling your name.
To be heard.
Amen. Well, for this season, the Lord is calling your name because he's making you a fame and a praise. You know, he talks about that in Zephaniah or chapter 3. He says, I'll make you a fame and a praise, your name, for my glory. So God is calling your name. And he said that he told Abraham that he would make his name great. And, you know,
that's
God
right.
is doing that. Amen. Amen.
You know, I really thank God for that opportunity. You know, we talked about the message of Trinity's Hope and the plan and how it flows over into the manifest, which really just talks about teaching people and giving examples of love and romance the way God intended. You know, because God has a plan for everything. He's well organized. You know, he declares the end from the beginning for generations. And so he understands and knows exactly what he's trying to give us and do in our lives. The problem is we don't know. We don't understand. We don't flow in it if we can't recognize it. So in writing these books, developing these ministry plans, the goal is to teach women and to teach men what God wants to give us. The goal is to help us understand how bad the enemy doesn't like us and wants to destroy us, and how he uses our ignorance of sexual sin to do that. So when we talk about messages like abstinence, impurity, all the time people don't get that. If you weren't raised up in an environment where that was emphasized, you don't know what the word abstinence means. But people know what a fast means. You know, people know when you fast, you turn down the plate, you turn off the TV, you get off the phone, and you focus on God. So in order to teach women that, we write the book and talk about, give them examples of this is how God wants you to live your life and make choices. Amen?
Yeah. Melissa? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and you were just listening to our author, our guest for today, Melissa Ewell Miller, and she's in her car. She's traveling. She's calling in by cell phone to answer the call in and be a part of the show earlier on today because I wanted her to share with us about her mission, Manifest, where she is actually encouraging women, young women, to live a pure life. And Melissa, you were just saying, what were you just saying? You were just talking about how we write it in our books.
Right, we write in our books an example of how if you write it,
Okay. Yeah, Melissa, you're breaking up. You must be traveling through a no satellite zone. You're breaking up. Yeah, I know you're driving.
Yeah, but I'm not way. I'm not the car. I can hear you now.
Yeah, are you driving now?
No.
Can you in the chat room? Everybody in the chat room, can you hear Melissa? She. Let me just do this. Stay with me, Melissa. I want to just test the lines. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is this Minister Valerie Allen?
Absolutely. God bless you. God bless you,
God
Pastor
bless
Rebecca.
You.
You know I'm here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I was just buying up Satan in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
just
God is so
line.
God
yeah,
is so
this,
good.
Yeah, it's
Melissa's phone that's acting up.
See, you know, and, you know, it's amazing because last week, Melissa, we had some interference with you being on the broadcast. Listen, I'm going to keep having you back until we can get you clear.
Amen.
I'm a fighter. I don't die. I multiply. I come back stronger. So friction gives me energy, and it gives me power. So I understand that you're driving. We can't hear you at all, Melissa.
Oh, wow. Can you hear me now, Melissa?
Yes. Yeah, you're connected, not working with us today. Okay. Melissa, unfortunately, we don't have a good connection. Okay, so she dropped off again. I really wanted to get her in on this first half an hour today because she has a strong message, Minister Valerie Allen.
Yes, she does, Pastor Rebecca. I'm so in agreement with you. I'm telling you, I'm sitting on this side of the fence, and I had just read her electronic copy, her review copy, and I'm telling you, this book is just so awesome.
Amen. Well, that's what you were going to come on today to talk about her book and give us a review of
Amen.
The book. And I know you're very good at that because you gave us a review of the other gentleman's book, and I'm still being blessed by that.
Amen.
So what do you have? What is the Lord showing you? What has God spoken to you through the pages of Melissa's book?
Amen. Well, bless you, Pastor Rebecca. Thank you again for accepting me, allowing me to be on the show. Okay, is she back?
Let's see if she has
Melissa,
are you with
connection?
Hello?
Oh, great. Praise God. Okay, standing by. God bless you.
Okay, Melissa?
Yes, ma'am. I got another phone.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, because I know you're on your way to, you were on your way to teach a class, right?
Well, actually, I'm in the building, so I don't know why, for some reason, my phone didn't like this building.
Okay, so you were saying, you were talking about how we write about sexual purity and how God expects us to live in your book.
Right. We give people an example, real life examples of how it's done. Because if you've never been taught, if nobody's explained it to you, then you don't really have a framework for how to do it. And it's even better if you can create a mental picture and kind of like draw a map for people and give them the right motivation and the tools and the things to say and the things to pray and how better to demonstrate that than to the life of somebody who they can relate to, a young college girl who's coming from a good background. Her parents have expectations, but then she meets a guy who really wants the same thing that she wants, but neither one of them want to disappoint their families. They don't want to let God down. You know, so that speaks to the need in a lot of girls who are raised up in the faith, who are raised up in the church. And I really have a personal issue when I see a young girl coming to the church and she's pregnant and she doesn't have a husband, or she's 16 or 17 or even 15. And, you know, my heart just breaks when I see that because I know that we should be able to train our children and not only train them but then protect them. And then we should be able to cover them spiritually
and through prayer to keep the enemy from causing them to make those kind of mistakes. Because oftentimes we make mistakes based on the choices that we make, based on the information that we have, based on what we've been given to work with. And when we as parents and mothers don't have those tools ourselves, then it's difficult to pass them on to our daughters. And then if we say one thing and say, well, don't get pregnant, try to be celibate, you know, wait until your marriage, but then we're continually having children ourselves and there's no husband in the home, then our actions speak much louder than our words. And we've established a pattern of behavior that our children then pick up on. You know, our daughter said, well, Mama did it, and she's all right, and so I guess it's okay. So if we never bring anything in front of them as an example or a roadmap to show how you successfully achieve abstinence, how you successfully make it to the altar when you haven't, without having sex, then how do we expect them to know how to do it? So Trinity's Hope is an entertaining story. It's a relationship novel. You know, it has all the love and all the issues and the ups and downs when you're trying to get your life on track with someone else and then maintain your relationship with God. But it's also told in a way that people say, you know what, I can do that. You know, or they say, I wish I had known that when I was 16. Mm-hmm. I wish I knew how to get there. And then that's kind of where the man fast comes in. Because the man fast takes the lessons that were told and then they put them into practical steps that women can follow that creates in their life what they have in their heart as a vision. You know, and it talks about recognizing what sexual sin actually means and what are the consequences for sexual sin. And then it talks about how do you come out of it? How do you avoid it? How do you avoid it? How do you pray so that you don't open yourself up to the same mistakes? How do you get healed? So that once you stop having sex and you're walking in faith, that you're ready and whole enough and healthy enough to be the wife of a godly man. Because you want to be able to bring something to the relationship that will be a blessing to your husband. You don't want to come with all your baggage and your hurts and your pains so that every time he asks you for a glass of water, you got to go, well, why are you always begging me for something? Can't you get it yourself? You know, God wants us to come and be a person that's going to be a blessing to a husband. And some of us, we're not at that place. We desire it, but we've been so broken and beat up by the enemy and we're so guilty because of our past that we don't really have anything to bring to the table that's going to add to a person's life. So we keep running into the same situations over and over again. The marriages don't work out. The relationships fail. The men leave because we're just too much trouble. And God is saying, you know what? I just want so much better for my daughters. I want so much better for my son. So there's a way, you know, that seems right to a man, but the end therein is death. And the way we've been doing it traditionally, especially as African Americans, it hasn't ended up well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have a lot of situations we can look at and say, we need to do better. When we talk about 70 to 80% of our children being born in the single family homes, you know, that's something that we need to really, really look at as the church. You know, as the people who hold and harness the treasures of God's goodness and grace and mercy within us, we ought to be doing better to heal our relationships and to give our children what they needed. Because the reality is when Joseph and Mary got together, we know that Jesus basically was fathered by the Holy Spirit. And although he was 100% God wrapped in flesh, God said, you still need an earthly father to guide you and to teach
That's
you
good.
And to train you. So if Jesus needed an earthly father, he was God. He was 100% God. What makes us think our daughters and sons don't need a father in their life? Jesus had everything going for him. All the wisdom and knowledge that God could give him, the power to heal. And God said, you know what? He needs that godly man who can touch his life and impact him for the better so that everything that's in him can be manifested to the fullness. And if we see that model in him, we need that for our kids. God didn't just give Adam a child in the garden. He gave him a wife, and then he gave him a child, so that the things that those two people shared helped bring out everything that was in that child's spiritual DNA. And that's what God is saying to us. The order I established, the kingdom order, the family order says a husband and a wife with a combined heart to serve God and to please him should have children and impact those children's life as a team, as a goal. But if we can't even get together and have a decent conversation, or we can't spend time together without it going sexual and without us producing children out of order, then how, what's that to say for our children and the next generations that are going to come? You know, how do we continue to build our church and impact the world if none of us are in our place spiritually when it comes to relationships? I mean, there's so much to this, and I could talk for just hours about it. But, you know, one of the goals that we have in writing the books and sending the books out is to introduce ManFast. And I'll just talk about that quickly. We're having our first ManFast conference August 25th, 26th, and 27th here in Wichita, Kansas. I know people are like, what? Where? Well, you know, ideally in Wichita, Kansas. Literally, it's not far from Oklahoma City and Kansas City, about 2 hours in each direction. But the thing is, it's almost the exact geographical center of the nation. So really, if you think about it, anybody could come. You know, we're in the planning stages. There'll be some more information put out on Facebook and on the websites. But what this conference will do is introduce people to a message that's never been preached to a people that have never been reached in the area of handling sexual sin and getting victory over it. You know, God has said if we would just come understand what he wants for our lives, understand how bad the enemy wants to keep us from God's plan, and then realize that being ignorant of God's plan and the Satan's devices will keep us out of God's purpose. So this plan gives you the focus and the understanding of what God wants for your life in relationships. Then he will work through healing the areas where you've been hurt because you didn't follow his plan, either through ignorance or disobedience. Then we talk about what true repentance looks like. How do you really make the change in your life? Because repentance is more than just saying, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. Repentance is working out that desire to really want to please God and then putting yourself in a place where, you know what, I'll do anything you need, God, to get right. Whatever I have to leave, walk away, put down, cut out, I will do it because I want your best. And God can give you grace to get to that point. And then once we're at that point where we're ready to receive from God, then we rebuild the foundation. We talk about what the foundation of your spiritual life should look like. And it looks like a house. You know, every room is significant to a part of your house and a part of your life. And then we go to the rejoicing phase where we begin to act in faith and put things in place and put systems in place and put the tools in place and the goals in place so that we can get the kind of relationship that God wants us to have and really come out of it fully satisfied that we've done everything that God wanted us to do, and then we can enjoy the marriage the way God wanted. We can recreate in our own lives what he did when he placed Adam and Eve in the garden. And they had full communication, no shame in their relationship. They loved each other. They understood their purpose, and they spent their time together. You know, before the enemy got involved, that was a beautiful scenario of what God wants for his people. And if you ever had that desire, or if you've fallen into sexual sin, or you dealt with sin, being exposed to sexual sin as a child, either through abuse, or either through incest, or through being raped or molested, or if you grew up and just went about a relationship like I did, where I was thinking, you know, I've got to find out if this man is sexually compatible before I invest in a relationship, which is a lie from the pit. You know, but we get into these things because we're ignorant. You know, and when you think about Adam and Eve, their relationship was birthed in complete innocence. And God gave them everything they needed to know about the man. And she became the mother of the world. So, you know, they got something right. You know what I mean? So we have to realize that God has some things he wants to give us and put in us. And for this time and in this season, ManFast has been released and launched. And the goal is to just get it into the house, into the heart of every woman. There will be a book released at the conference August 25th, 26th, 27th. At that time, it will be available online, and people can buy the book. They can use it as a Bible study in their women's groups or their singles ministries. Families can do it. Girlfriends can get together and do it, and then learn the process of how to build a relationship to realize the vision that God wants for us and for our families.
Amen. Wow. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, that is, my husband came in and he was listening. He was like, this is good. This is a good topic. And even what you're saying, he was just really blessed by what you're saying. And it is a concept that God wants us to pay attention to get back to Eden, to get back to his original plan for the family, to get back to God's original plan for our sexuality. And you said something so key, Melissa. A lot of us are so messed up because of some sexual encounter or experience that we have had in our past. And I love the fact that Manfast is not just looking at the problem and scraping the surface, but that Manfast is really going down, delving deep to go in and begin to rectify some of the things that have been messed up by either our mistakes or the mistakes of those who mishandled us. So I just think it's awesome that we not only have knowledge and information, but we have healing, restoration, and then able to move forward, going forward in victory, going forward the way that God totally intended for us to live life, Zoe, life, and life more abundantly. Powerful.
That's right. It is. You know, and I'm teaching a class of young ladies right now, and you can just see the change in them from week to week and how they're learning new things that they never heard before. And, I just thank God. I just praise God every day. Our church just ended a 40-day word journey last night, and for the last 40 days, God has just been speaking and imparting and empowering. And it was during this conference that he spoke so clearly and directly during this journey to do the conference. And my pastor just said, when do you want to do it? You know, I was just waiting for you to ask. I mean, every door that we needed to open has opened, and there are more doors. Every time I talk to somebody, they have another piece that they can bring to it. So this is just a divine move of God. I believe, you know, that once we begin to talk about this and women begin to experience it, it's just going to take over the churches, not because it's about me, but because it's a move that God is birthing, because he wants us to be ready when he gets ready to come back. You know, he said, I'm coming for a church without spot and wrinkle. And if we as a body would look in the mirror, oh, my God, you know, our garments are stained and ripped and tattered, and we just are a mess. And God doesn't want to leave half his body because we're not ready to go with him. So in this end time season, he is just pouring out, and he is just letting loose and uncovering things. Like my son told me, he's throwing his trump cards on the table at the end of the game so that people can get the healing and deliverance and the restoration and the teaching that they need so that we can all come into the fullness of the knowledge of him. You know, we've got to grow up in some things as a body. You know, we just can't, it's not good enough to be the same way again, over and over. At some point, we've got to turn the corner and turn the page and walk into a new day. And God is saying, it's time, I'm giving it to you, I'm releasing it to you. You just have to take it up and run with it. You just have the courage to face who you are and where you are and let me heal you and bring you what I want to give you in my life. And he needs our cooperation to do that.
My God. Amen. Because, you know, it's a strange phenomenon, but we're looking to God for physical healing, even the more so these days. We're looking for God for that supernatural physical healing, and a lot of the healing crusades are going for. But this is where God wants us healed on the inside as well as the outside. He wants us whole, not just on the surface, but on the inside. And so many people in so many churches are still hurting, still broken, busted, and disgusted. And I just thank God. That's why I wrote The Cry of a Woman's Heart, Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to Victorious Living, because the Lord showed me that in my early years of when he began to reveal to me that I was, you know, a prophet. He revealed to me that so many people are in pain. And that's what God is showing you. And I just love, and I know this is not about you, Melissa, because I hear God.
Yes.
I hear God. I don't hear Melissa Ewell Miller. I hear God saying, it's time for my people to be healed. I will show them that I truly am their God, and
that's
they are my people. And the blood of Jesus was not shed for us to stay sick, for us to stay in our emotional state of distress. God wants us healed. He does not want us to, and I don't, listen, listen, God is saying that this is not just for single women who are trying to keep themselves from sex.
Absolutely.
This is, I don't know if you got, if this is for women and men, but I see women, I see men, single and married. Because there are a lot of us in marriages, and we're going to do our marriage moments in a few, but there are a lot of us in marriages who are sick, who are hurting, and because of that inner pain, we're lashing out at our spouses. So what does MANFAST have for those of us who are married and hurting?
You know, the MANFAST really truly is for anybody. The one thing, the one stipulation that we make is that if you're a married woman or a married man, this is not saying you fast from your spouse. This is not saying you separate from your spouse or you stop performing your marital duties in the marriage bed. It doesn't say that. The MANFAST term is that you fast from relationships if you're a single person and you're involved in sexual sin as a way to meet emotional needs or financial needs. But as far as the MANFAST program and the teaching, anybody who realizes that they've had a struggle with sexual sin that's affecting where they are today and where they need to go forward will benefit and be blessed by this process. So we just have to make that stipulation. It's for anybody. If you are hearing this and you know every time somebody brings up sexual sin, or like one of the ladies I was just teaching was saying how she was out shopping and saw a man who sexually abused her when she was 13, and she wanted to run him over with her shopping cart. I mean, it was just that real. And she's been married for like 20 years. And she was like, you know, I needed this healing because I never talked about it. I never dealt with it. I never told anybody. I never even confronted him. And the man was looking at her. The thing that made her so angry, he was looking at her with the same lust that he looked at her when they were 13. And he took advantage of her sexually. The same spirit was still targeting her. And she said, oh, I was ready to kill him with that basket. And I said, you know what? You've got to let God heal you. And the thing that the message that I say all the time that's so important for women and men to hear is that God is not angry at you about this. You know, the enemy is a liar. The Bible says he's a father of lies. He's a master crafty liar. And he will have you thinking, really, the same devil that enticed you to get in the bed with that person that wasn't your husband, before you could get up and put your underwear back on, he's shaming you for what you did. And he will throw that cloak of shame over you and have you thinking that God hates you and you're never going to be forgiven and you're broken and damaged. And God is like, we need to turn off that record. We need to turn off that broken record and begin to let God's voice have the preeminence in your life, because you have listened to that same old sorry tune for long enough, and it's time to hear with a different ear and change the frequency of your radio in your mind and in your heart and tune into what God is saying. Tune into God's station and hear the message that he says that you're worthy of love, that I forgive you for what you did, that you did it in ignorance because the enemy deceived you, just like he deceived Eve. The enemy saw something in you that was special, and he said, I'm going to crush it before it has a chance to manifest in her life. And then I'm going to stay on top of her so she'll never get to that point where she's walking in her purpose. That was his goal with Eve. That was why he targeted her, and he's been doing it ever since. And it's not that he has a whole lot of tricks. He's not all that wise, but his tricks work because we're ignorant, and we keep falling for the same mess over and over again. But MANFAST will blow the cover off his lies. MANFAST will put it on the table, plain and simple, and let you know what's truth and what's a lie. And then you will look up, and when a man comes and he's talking that crazy talk, you'll immediately say, you know what, that's not God. You're not my intended, because I was before God, and he showed me that he's this man of character, and he's got this heart, and he's got this passion and vision. You don't even look like the right kind of thing. You all wrong. So let me just go on about my business, because I'm healthy enough and whole enough not to just take anything. I'm waiting on God's best. And once you go through the MANFAST, you'll understand. That'll be like second nature. So you won't fall for the same mess over and over again. And then when the enemy comes talking about what a failure you are, you can say, you know what, I might have fallen once, but the Lord has raised me up. And I can run on and crush your head with the heel of my high heel shoe. Get on with the lie. God will empower you through this process to take control of your life that you have never been able to manage before. You know, we've just never gotten victory in this area from generation to generation to generation. We've just never really captured this in the black church. And for one thing, is we really don't like to talk about sin. Talk about sex. We like to have sex, but we don't like to talk about it. When somebody comes up pregnant, then they're married, we act like we don't know how it happened. Ooh, wow. And everybody knows how it happened. It's not that difficult. It's not to put two and two together. We know what happened. You know, but we have been so busy either being in shame about it or trying to get around and do it on the sly that we won't confront it head on. Now, there's some pastors and some churches that do a wonderful job, but there are a lot of churches that just act like it just never happens. They just don't deal with it, because in dealing with it and confronting it from the pulpit means you have to deal with what you're doing in your own life, and you know who I'm talking about. I'm not trying to alienate anybody, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Right, exactly. And just have to say that also we have to be mindful of that during the pulpit, you're talking about family hour. You know, when the pastor gets up and begins to minister, you know, you have small children there, and they're not having sex. I'm talking about 5, 6, 7. So there's something you really, you know, that's why we need a man fast, because there's some things you have to be discerning that you don't want to, you know, like I wouldn't let my kids watch an R-rated movie. I still don't let my kids watch R-rated movies, and they're 18 and 13, off of 13. But I don't want to be R-rated in the pulpit either. So there is a place, like you said, conferences. Like you said, there are pastors who are just saying, let's deal with this. Let's have a women's fellowship. Let's have a women's conference. Let's have man fast. And not just once a year, but on a regular basis, because you can't just, sometimes one dose of medicine isn't going to do it. I need to go back again and back again. So we do, believe me, I know that there are pastors, too, who have sexual sin. And like you said, they know who they are, and they're not going to deal with it, because they don't want the covers to be taken off of what they're doing. And there are a lot of them out there. But there are a lot out there, too, like you said, who are actually actively coming against the sexual sin in the lives of the people. And I love this approach, Melissa, because you are not targeting any type, and you're not isolating anything. Like a lot of people don't mind isolating homosexuality. You know, or lesbianism is the same thing. But a lot of people don't mind isolating that. But what we have to realize is that sexual sin is sexual sin.
Absolutely.
You know, we'll talk about the homosexual in a minute, but we won't talk about the whore or the fornicator. So we have to just be careful that we're not picking on anyone and letting the whole group of people off the hook, so to speak. I just love
that. The only one we're picking on is the devil. The only one we're highlighting and shaming is the devil. We're exposing his tricks and his lies. And we're explaining and letting people know, you know, there's really only those three reasons that people fall into sexual sin. And I've said it before, is that we're ignorant of God's love. We're ignorant of the enemy's plan to destroy us by using sexual sin to entice us away from God's purpose and to steal God's plans from us. And then that ignorance of continually not knowing and passing that ignorance on from generations. Those are the three things that cause us to fall into sexual sin. Everything else is rooted from that. When the enemy lies to us about shame, it's because we're ignorant that we don't have to take it and because we haven't been supported. And so you mentioned about this not being a one-time message. One of the things that we incorporate in the Man Fast is that, first of all, the Man Fast book is like a 12-week teaching. So there's a lesson, a goal, and activities for every week. So potentially a church could take this book and set it up in their women's ministry and follow it through. And then after that, we talk about each one of those weeks on forward. And then once you're done with the book, then we encourage people to set up what I like to call a girls' night in fellowship. Because if we're used to going out to the club and trolling for men, then that becomes a path to unrighteousness. People that you hang out with can be a path that leads you to unrighteousness. But if you're with a group of women who have the same mind and the same heart and the same vision, then we come together and we continually encourage each other. If you're regularly having a guy call you after midnight every Saturday night when he comes in from the club, then you be on the phone praying with your sister. Or you learn how to, if you're not strong enough to delete the number, then you have somebody call you or you delete, you know, you make sure that he doesn't have that access anymore. And when you have somebody saying, you know what, you can do it, sister, I'm praying for you. You know, on Friday night, if we don't have anything to do and we used to go out looking for men, then let's get together. Let's rent some movies that are going to manifest and benefit us in our manifest and share that time together. Let's bring our kids together and do something with them. You know, you create positive environments and activities so you can sustain your man fast, and you learn how to be the support to other women that you need in your own life. Because once you get away from the lifestyle, then God begins to open your eyes and you see possibilities that you never saw before. And then through the man fast, people start thinking, you know, I could start a business. I've always liked to do this. I could do that. I could go back to school. Maybe I'm going to go after that position on my job that I've always wanted to promote to. Once you stop chasing men and your focus is all about the flesh, then you begin to think about spiritual things. And once your heart gets healed and God declutters all the junk, then he can begin to pour in ideas and wisdom and knowledge of witty inventions. So then you can begin to create things that not only bless you spiritually, but then become the foundation of the things that you need for your life financially. And then you begin to create a legacy for your children. And then when you sit down at the table at homework time, everybody's doing homework, including mama, because she's going back to school to get her GED or her degree.
Go ahead.
And then we're moving forward. So the time we're spending on day-to-day is not waste on foolishness, but purposefulness and building the kingdom. Because once we get our finances in order, then we can start to tithe and to sow. And then the church is blessed. You know, this is the kind of thing that people need to get a hold of, because it will revolutionize a body. If you're in a church where it's 80% women, and then those women single women go through the man fast and begin to learn how to pray for the men of the body and pray for the men in their lives instead of talking about them and sleeping with them and speaking death over them, then God can begin to work in the lives of the men. Because we don't want to pray. We want to fuss and complain, but we don't want to pray. But man fast teaches women how to pray for the brothers and get in a posture of sustained, concerted, directed prayer based on that scripture in Paul wrote in Galatians, where he said, "My little children, I travail in prayer for you till Christ be formed in you." If we say, I'm going to take this one man, this one brother who I see all the time who's not about nothing, I'm going to just take him, and I'm going to get in a prayer posture, and I'm going to pray for that man until Christ be formed in his life and until God starts the working. I'm going to pray an open heaven over his life so God can begin to work in him and send laborers into his life and block the enemy and deliver him from drugs or alcohol or whatever he's bound up with, so that he then becomes aware of God in his life as never before. If we start to pray like that across this nation and across this world, what kind of power would we release in the lives of our men? Just imagine when we are right ourselves with God, when our hearts are healed, because we're no longer tied to the bed, you know, the bed of sexual shame. When we have cut those bondages and that ministry that God has taken us through has healed us and delivered us, and then we pray, not, "God, send me a husband, make him my husband," but, "Lord, make him somebody's husband who walks and talks and acts and looks just like Jesus." Once we get to that point, what do you think will happen in our churches? Just get the picture in your mind. And we have never, as a people, across generational lines, across denominational lines, have said, you know what, let's just come together and forget about what you believe, let's just talk about how to pray these men into the kingdom as women around the country, saying, let's just do it. I just love you. Let's just pray. Let's stop sleeping with men. Let's stop sleeping with married men. You know, that's another one. People don't want the entanglements of relationships, so they'll borrow from somebody else's marriage, sowing seeds of distress in their own future. But what if we just said, let's stop sleeping and let's stop speaking death? Can you imagine God moving on the criminal justice system and sending men in there with the man fast message to teach other men, and then they come out healed and whole? There's going to be a whole lot of weddings going on, baby, a whole lot of weddings. Can you see God establishing that order if we understand what we need to do? You know, my pastor preached this week about a message, the people of Issachar, the children of Issachar, they understood the seasons and the times that they were in and what Israel is supposed to do. And I believe this time for the church is to deal with and confront the issues surrounding sexual sin. God has said, I'm ready to obliterate and annihilate the bondage that has kept my children bound by this sin, and I'm ready to take it out. If you just get on board with me and come alongside and get in this plan and let God do some awesome things in our lives, I know God can change us. I know we can see it happen. I live with this dream. I'm passionate about this because God has shown it to me. It's like he pulled off the cover and said, let me teach you something about this, girl, if you just take your time and listen. You know, and I probably have to do another show to give you all my testimony and all the stuff that I went through. But I'm going to tell you this one little thing. You know, I've been married for 20 years, and my husband comes up with a really odd, strange neurological disorder. And within 6 months, he was in a wheelchair. The doctors could not figure it out. We went from specialist to specialist, moved to another city just to see a specialist, and still no answers. But you know what? It was such a trying time, and I couldn't understand it. If we would have been faithful people serving God, raising godly children. We have 5 children, have done everything we could. You know, God really blessed our marriage, blessed our home. And then this man ends up with this crazy illness that has him now bedbound. But, you know, the craziest thing about this, when you look at these type of situations, Pastor Rebecca, you know, in 2005, I was forced into celibacy after 20 years of marriage. So the last 5 years, I have had to live this man fast, honey. I have had to learn to deal with what I was rightfully and legally, spiritually allowed to do. Had to learn after 20 years how to keep my flesh under.
My goodness.
I'm telling you, I love my husband with a passion. Love him. Love him. Appreciated him. And I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be vulgar. I'm not trying to. But just imagine after 20 years of marriage being cut off to no fault of your own.
Yeah.
And it was through that process of praying and fasting and laying before the Lord and wanting to be right, even when somebody from my past approached me. I heard about your situation. I said, well, you know I'm married. I don't mind if you don't mind. I was like, what? Never in my life would I have imagined at this stage in my life having to deal with something like that. But through praying, God began to show all this to me. And so when women tell me, well, you don't even know what it's like you're married, I'm like, wait a minute. I beg to differ with you. I know exactly what it's like.
For
God to place that situation, allow that to occur in my life, you know, I can't even shed tears about what's going on with my husband because what is God birthing through that process? All the teaching and the strength he's given me. So when I tell you, you can live above sexual sin, I know it. I've lived it. I've walked it. I know how God will bless your life and cause you to say no every time and walk away patting yourself on the back. I passed that test. Yes, I did. I know you can get victory. I am a living witness, a living witness. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. A living witness. And that's what we have been lacking. We have not seen it played out in front of us. Because people either don't want to deal with it or talk about it, or they assume that it's not really that big of a deal. But it's huge. It's huge because, you know, this thing will take us to hell. People don't realize fornication will take you to hell. If you don't repent, you establish this as a lifestyle, God will say, I cannot be a party to sin. And because the Holy Spirit dwells in us, you know, the Bible says we are the temple. He will not, you take him with you into every sexual encounter you have. You make him a witness to your sin, front and center. And at some point in time, he's going to say, you know what? You won't listen. You won't hear. You won't repent. You won't receive my grace. I have got to step away. God will separate himself from that sin. Because what fellowship does light have with darkness? We don't understand. Yeah. And then every single person that you were ordained to minister to by fulfilling your God-given purpose will be left out, and God will have to send somebody else because you weren't there, because you wouldn't give up the sexual sin. And today we're living in where we got tornadoes that are wiping out cities and diseases that have no cures and people that are dying at the drop of a hat, young kids playing on the soccer field, dying of heart attack. I would not want to be wrapped up in sexual sin and resisting to the grace of God right now in my life. I wouldn't want to live like that because you'd sin one minute, hell the next. It's just that simple. It is just that simple. And God said in Revelation chapter 21, fornicators and adulterers and whoremongers and homosexuals will have their place in the pit that burns with fire. That's just what he said. Because you won't come to him, and he cannot be a party to that sin. And every time you do it and you come to church and raise up holy hands, you're asking God to be a witness to your sin and be a party. He's like, I just can't do it. This is not me. The blood of Jesus and grace will allow me to deal with it for a while, but after a while, enough is enough, baby. I got to let you go.
Yeah.
If you don't believe it, tell your people to read Ezekiel chapter 23 about a whole lot.
Melissa?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And that's the message that we have to get out. You must be born again. You have
that's
to,
right.
You know, Jesus said we inherit the kingdom. We must be born again. And when
that's
you're born
right.
again, all the old stuff passes away and everything
that's
becomes
it.
Brand new. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments.
That's
you know,
right.
and
that's
you know,
right.
Romans Road tells us about being saved. It's not just confessing with your mouth, but it's believing in your heart. God
and
wants
walking
our
it out.
Heart. You know, when we truly give our hearts over to God, then we are able to depart from the sins that so easily beset us, and we just
exactly.
have a hunger and a love for him. So I know exactly what you're talking about, girl. You have a powerful, powerful ministry that's been birthed out of some, of course, some pain, you know, of course, some, you know, just bewilderment, you know, questioning and asking God why some things had to occur. But God knows the way that you take, you know, and
Amen.
He gave you this. This is what he's giving you because he can trust you with it. You have proven yourself to be faithful, and God is saying, well done. Even during this time, he's saying, I've been able to trust you with little, and now I'm giving you much. So it is a great
Amen.
Assignment. That
Amen.
The Lord has you to do a great assignment, and you just keep on talking. Don't look at their faces, and you know some people don't want to hear the hell part. Like you're gonna burn in hell. Listen, depart from me, for I don't know you. You know when
That's
we
right.
you got to know Jesus. You have to know him. You know,
That's
it's not
right.
just saying you know him. I went to church, or I took an altar call, or I was baptized. But do you know Jesus? You know, have
That's
you
right.
repented of your sins? Have you given your life over to the Lord? Do you
mm-hmm.
know Jesus? I mean, it's a wake-up call because we have this watered-down a gospel where we're not telling people the truth, that you really
That's
do
right.
have to have the proper garments. You have to know Jesus. You know,
That's
you
right.
don't come in here with the sin-stained garments. Don't come in here, you know, wiping your mouth, you know, after you, and rubbing your stomach after you've had your meal of sin. It's like,
That's right.
are you even convicted? Do you even have any conviction in your heart?
Exactly,
you
exactly.
You know, so yeah, and it does take the whole package. We need to, some people
That's
need
right.
to be saved. Some
That's
people
right.
just need to be saved. They think they're saved, but they're not
That's
really
right.
saved.
No, not in the true sense of walking in it. You know, not walk, they have to come back under the blood. They have to do it with knowledge. And an informed
yeah.
consent where they're giving God their whole heart. Because, you know, some people will be like 80% saved and they'll still have that little stuff on the side they do. You know, with God, it's all or nothing. You know, I mean, it's a process, you know, because the Bible says work out your soul salvation, your complete salvation with fear and trembling. But you've got to make a decision for Christ. You got to decide
yeah.
what side or the fence you on, what path you're going to take. Are you going to peruse the path of righteousness or the path of unrighteousness? Because they're very different things. You know, the things
Amen.
That you're passionate about will shape your life, and they will be the
yes.
things that you manifest.
My God. Well, Melissa, I tell you, it's just powerful. And like you said, we could spend 5 hours, 6, 10, 20 hours talking
right.
about this.
Absolutely.
This assignment that the Lord has given you. And again, I invite you to come back again. When is your conference?
It's August 25th, 26th, and 27th. That's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Okay, so come back in September. Let's talk a little bit more about Man Fast because you also releasing a book, and the book with the 12-week
yes.
program that you are, the Lord has given you to help us to just really
yes.
begin to address sexual sin in the church. Right. You know, and I love the fact that we're talking about sexual sin in the church. So I want you to just give us your website, Melissa. What time is your class?
Oh, got a couple hours for that.
Okay, give me your website. Let us know how people can contact you.
www.manfest.com. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, www.manfast.com. That's capital M-A-N, capital F-A-S-T, just like the fast in the book of Isaiah. Manfast.net, N-E-T.net. And there's contact information for me. In the next couple of days, we'll have the information about the conference on there. But you can also just contact me by email. There's also a Facebook page for ManFast. Just go into the search box and put ManFast, capital M-A-N, capital F-A-S-T. It's one word, ManFast, and that will bring up the site. If you want to go through the URL, it's facebook.com/ManFastPlan. And you will get there to us. And if you can't find that, then just hit me on my site, and I will give you the link to get to it. There are women out there on the ManFast from all over the states. We even have a group of women in South Africa that are following the ManFast. That they send me email questions, and we talk and minister to them. So God has already taken this internationally and globally through the Internet. So I know that God is going to move out. At the conference, we're going to be videotaping, and so there'll be excerpts available for that if pastors want to order that or women's ministries want to order that to see what it's all about. There are videos that are on the website that give you a preview and talk to you about helping you decide whether or not you need a ManFast. On the website, there's also a ManFast survey where you ask yourself a series of questions that will identify and locate whether or not you've had an issue in sexual sin. Some people, they already know. It's a no-brainer. Other people might need a little help understanding why something is a problem. All that is on there. And then within the next couple of months, we'll be able to give you specific information on how to get the book, how to get the plan, and how to set up a ManFast ministry in your own ministry or community or with your own friends.
Amen. Awesome, Melissa. Awesome.
Amen.
Listen, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and we're on the air with author Melissa Ewell Miller, who's also the founder, and the Lord has given her the assignment to bring forth the ManFast program, which is a healing, deliverance, restoration, and a program that's going to give you knowledge about how God would have you to live your life for Him. And it's powerful. Her testimony is powerful. If you missed it, go back and listen to the archives, blogtalkradio.com/power. We're going to have Minister Valerie Allen come in and give a review of the book, Destiny's Hope. Amen, Hallelujah, which is also a book that Melissa authored. And also, I'm opening up the phone lines. We have Pastor Anthony Simmons on standby for our marriage moments. I asked Melissa to come in on the front end of the show today because I wanted to just, the Lord led me to, just because God said so. And she's been a blessing for this past hour, just really having the time to speak the heart of the Lord pertaining to the people of God for this season. You know, this is a season where God is just asking us to get it right. He's not even asking us. He's commanding us to get it right, to stop the sin and to turn from our ways, our evil ways, and repent and turn to Him so that He can heal our nation. And this is a big part of the healing process, that our nation can be healed, because sexual sin is a big part of the ills of our nation. You know, I don't have to go into details. You can turn on your TV and see exactly what I'm talking about. And that's the world, but don't you know that the world has crept into the church, and the church has crept into the world. So we want to draw that line again, consecrate ourselves, and come out from amongst them. If you want to talk to Melissa, I'm going to open up the phone lines for a few minutes. Then I'm going to have Minister Valerie Allen come. Then Pastor Anthony will be coming with our marriage moments. He's the one that told me to keep going with this topic because it's important to him. It's important to me. Raise your hand. There's some people on the switchboard. If you want to talk to Melissa, if you have a question, because she's going to have to run. And I want to just make sure anybody has anything for her, can just have a minute to speak with her. If you push one, your hand will go up. I'll see it on the switchboard, and I'll be able to put you on the air. I know Minister Valerie Allen is on standby. If nobody's hand goes up, I'm going to put her on the air so she can do the review. The number to call in is 646-652-4832. 646-652-4832. You can call in and be on the air with the Woman to Woman Show. If you have been blessed, and I know you have, put it on your page, blogtalkradio.com/power. Tell people to listen to today's broadcast. Listen, let's do this together. Let's do this. It's not my ministry or your ministry. It's God's mandate that we go and do the Great Commission, which is to preach this gospel. Amen. And Melissa's preaching this gospel in the area of healing, deliverance, restorations, and just letting go of the sexual sin in our lives. And I love the fact that she's putting those two words together, because that's just what it is, sexual sin. And now sex outside of marriage is sin. Amen. So if you want to talk to Melissa, if you have a question for her, raise your hand and I'll put you on the air. Just push one. And you'll be on the air. Amen. I'll put you on the air if you push one. If I don't see a hand go up, I will not put you on the air. Amen. Because some people are listening. I see a full switchboard, Melissa, and people just being blessed. I'm going to go ahead and bring Minister Valerie Allen on. God bless you, Minister Allen. You're on the air.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca. God bless you, Sister Melissa. What a joy to be back here today. I mean, first and foremost, I got to give some praise unto God. Psalms 41:9, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new sing, and praise the Lord and the priest of congregation of saints. I just want to say this. I had heard a word from Joel Osteen on last week, and this just popped up in my spirit, and I wrote it down. His message was, connect with the right people, and that just leaped in my heart, and I thought about you, Sister Melissa, and also with Pastor Rebecca. I mean, God really hooked you up with her, and he also gave a thing with that, saying most of our people with you, but most of them is also with against you. And I said, Lord, that's a beautiful confirmation to my spirit, you know, from last week's show. You know, let me just say this, too. This is just not a show. It's just not simply a broadcast, which I'm about to simply post after this, after the recording, the archives. This is a ministry, and I'm telling you, I've been sitting here just taking it all in and just having a transformation, just having a transformed mind, just, you know, being even healed, you know, behind the scenes, and just letting the Lord to just simply minister to my heart. So I thank you so much, Sister Melissa, for allowing God to use you, because, again, I like what Pastor Rebecca saying, that this is an assignment, and it truly is. I know the Lord gave me the word mission, because it is. It's an assignment that you're on a mission, you know, for the glory of God. And I agree with Pastor Rebecca so much that your testimony is awesome. I mean, it is a blessing to be able to come from both sides of the spectrum. I understand, you know, with being open candid about your circumstances and situation, but it is a blessing to become on both sides of the spectrum, you know, from being, you know, what you said about with your husband, you know, being, you know, not being able to do that anymore. But anyway, going forth with your review, I'm telling you, I can sincerely see how Trinity's Hope is the offspring to the man Fast. This book is just riveting, just simply riveting to me. I mean, I'm an advocate book reader. We understand that I'm an author and a writer myself, but I'm telling you, and I have read a lot of books like yourself, Melissa, but this book really speaks to your heart. Last week you spoke about how people interpret it as a romance novel. I can see that. You know, I can see how they can misinterpret that. I can also agree with you with regard to it being a relationship book, because that's what it is. It's built from the ground up, a firm foundation of two young people starting out in life, building their relationship from a solid point, but in God's way. That's what has blessed me about Trinity's Hope more than anything else. So just highlighting a few things, just simply putting it, what I say about your book is this. Your dedication, first of all, is sweet. I love how you're dedicated to your husband and also to all the inspired readers, and your acknowledgments are very heartfelt. My heart just leaped with joy in regards to your gratitude to all the people who've been behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, has blessed you with your book. And also now just talking about the body of your story, again, it is riveting to me. That's the word that leaped out of my spirit as I begin to read and finish up the book. And I'm telling you, it is a page-turner. Let me just say,
amen.
Trinity's Hope is a page-turner. I did not expect the unexpected, but I couldn't wait to get to the end. Can I just say I read the book in 24 hours? Can I just say that?
Wow.
That's how much of a page-turner this book is. And it even brought me back, of course, it's only natural, back to my teenage years, back to my childhood life. And it brought up a lot of questions, and it answered a lot of questions. And it's just
right.
So much detail that you can really say and expound on your book. It's amazing. But to be obedient to Pastor Rebecca and to the Spirit of God and giving a review, I will say the best place, of course, to start with your book in particular are your review questions. Because, Melissa, I mean, God has allowed you to map everything out right there. So
yes.
If you're able to candidly, answer your discussion questions, which take you into further discussions, this is where you can get a review from your book. So, but backing up for that, let me just say, too, took notation to the name, the characters. I love them. Talk about Trinity, the sisters, Trinity, Liberty, Charity, Grace, Mercy, and Destiny, and then the brother Nathan. I was like, wow, this is all, hooked up. The one thing that also stuck out with me was the mother. Is her name pronounced Acadia? Is that her?
That's
how you pronounce her name? Acadia?
Acacia.
Acacia, right.
Mrs. Valerie.
Yes, ma'am.
Mrs. Valerie, make sure you don't give us any.
Oh, I'm not giving it all away. I'm not. You trust me. That's why I say the best way to review her book is with to answer some of her questions. Her review questions. I'm not. This is all, trust you, me, Pastor Rebecca, this is all that the Lord gave me. And I believe I used the word in short because this is a short review for me without giving it away because you don't. I do understand this, not giving it away, because you want the readers to be inspired and be empowered, and let the Lord minister to their heart because it really is impactful.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That excitement that you have some excitement, girl. I tell you, that excitement that you have about this book, I want that same excitement.
But I trust you, me. It's like going to a movie, Pastor Rebecca, and I won't spoil no ending for nobody. Trust you, me. I believe the Lord has allowed me to be prepared to give just what was needed for such a time as this. I sincerely say that when I mean that. I just highlighted a few things. I can prove it to you because I wrote it down here on paper. Nothing more, nothing less. Because this is a book, I believe when I posted it on the blog, and thank you, Melissa, for allowing me that opportunity and honor to do so. My own personal comment is simply a must read. And that's what this is, without giving any of the story away. If you believe me as who I am as an author and you understand my book, and if I simply state and read and review someone else's book, which I have done in the past, trust you me. When I say a must read, it is a must read. But again, I believe Melissa has taken care of it all herself through God, speaking about her book. So what I was just taking note to was just the character names. They're different, but they all line up with the Word of God. This entire package of book is lined upon line of precept with the Word of God. Of course,
wow.
It's going to have you walking away with a few questions. But with all due respect to you, Pastor Rebecca, until you read the book, then I won't go into any further discussions because I see where you're coming from. So once you read the book, then we can talk.
I can bring up some
key points with her discussion questions, because these discussion questions, again, at the end of the book, will bring you right back to the basis of what Melissa is bringing us to today with breaking down the entire man fast, and would definitely open up discussions, which will open up dialogue and conversation and begin the healing process. So, again, I am grateful for Trinity's Hope. It's riveting. It's done much for me, and it brought back, like I said, some childhood incidents. If it's okay to say, to just share one thing in regards to me from my teenagers, what it brought up to mind for me in reading the book, I often say how pure this relationship is. And we understand it's a nonfiction, but I'm like you, Melissa. I said, Lord, I want to see young women have a reality like this, that it can be a reality because it's so like you said, Trinity's Hope. It's something that you hope for. Listen, Hebrews 11:1, substance is a substance is a, oh, Lord, help me.
Faith is a substance.
Substance is faith. Now faith is. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's what I'm interpreting from Trinity's Hope. And going back to me as a teenager, what brought to mind to me is how I wish I didn't have my innocence taken away from me. I just often wonder what life would have been like for me if I had that opportunity to be able to wait upon the Lord instead of having it ripped away from me at 9 years old, which of course opened up that door, you know, for earlier sex in life. And I said, you know, why, God? This, Melissa's an excellent book. I'm looking forward to reading Destiny, because I see what that's going to be about, a continuation. I just love this whole family series. You know, it reminds me of somewhat of The Left Behind, but like you said, it's on a whole different level. This is hitting home. So whereas we was online, my mom had called in, and, you know, Satan is always busy, but God is greater in us. But nonetheless, I said, listen, I got to check out the show. And a matter of fact, tell my sister to get my nieces on the show. They have to listen to this call. They got to call. I'm like, they have to listen. I don't know any other way now than to tell people to listen and get the book. I'm already thinking about a couple of copies that I have to get for my personal niece, who is away in college, Howard University. Met a young guy back in April, called up. It was, as a matter of fact, Resurrection Sunday. And her mother was here with me, and she was talking and how this guy had invited her, you know, to his church. And the moment that she was speaking to her mom, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me and letting me know how much of a ungodly situation that this was. But long story short with that, I thank God. When my niece came home for break, she went to her church. They attend the cathedral. Bishop Hilliard spoke the word that the Lord gave me, which was confirmation. My sister called me back up on the Monday. She said, Valerie, I had to tell you. She said, I had to tell you what the Lord has done. Because she knew that the bishop was not here with us, but God was. And I thank God for confirmation. What it did, too, was drove my sister's daughter, my niece, ushered her by the Spirit of God through that confirmed word up to the altar to commit and give her life further to God, and also in regards to being water baptized. I'm telling you, I said, so that's why this is awesome to me. And the more that, you know, just, again, just having the opportunity to read it is really what I think has excited me even more, and to further understand this assignment, this mission that God has given you, and to take it seriously and not lightly. And then, examine myself. First thing with me, and it is true, as you said, as a minister of the gospel, we often say that we're the first partakers of the word. Well, we are. We are held accountable. And I said, Lord, I thank you so, so, so very much. To God be the glory for the great things he has done. I do recommend it. I suggest it. Everyone go out and read it. And, yes, I even suggest if you got to go back even further than nine years of age now, because look at our little ones. They're coming up and dreaming of wanting to have children to make themselves feel good or someone to love because of the abandonment in their lives. My mom, what point when you broke up, when we started off last week, what came to mind was how my mom sat down with me and began to teach me at the tender age of nine, because I began to develop early in life. So, see, I had those challenges early on, which I can understand now why Satan used that as a tack for me to be child molested at the age of nine. You know, because my body was fully developed, but I didn't understand. I was innocent. I was a child. I didn't know what was happening, you know, things of that nature. And there was a point in time as I grew up, and I finally, when I was a mature adult, maybe about a year ago now, opened that up in a woman's ministry, what exactly happened to me in detail. And the prophetic word was spoken to me back was that all this time is the reason why I've been on guard, so guarded, is because I was like this little girl still covering up the hurt and pain because my natural father hadn't rescued me. And that's the situation happened when my parents were home. And I remember it so vividly. And I was wondering why they just won't come in the room, why somebody won't come get me. That's what was going through my mind when I was a child. Wow. But it didn't happen. And when I finally, it was through a women's conference, not conference, but, you know, we always call them conference, but it was during a Bible study, and it was the women at this time, and things were open up. And one mother had said something about the heart and how our hearts are soft, and some of our hearts are soft, and how some of our hearts are hard, and that's when it triggered. It hit me why my heart was the way it was, and it took me all the way back to 9 years old when I was that little girl, innocent little girl, asleep in my mother's bed when this man came in who was a friend of the family, as you will, and violated me.
Wow.
All this time. And then being, and then also being raped in a back alley at 13 years old. So you wonder why I acted out the way that I did and then end up in at 16 years old involved with an older man who was also the drug lord of Newark, New Jersey. And it was only by the grace of God at age 19, as you were speaking earlier about it, you know, when you say you wake up and say, Melissa, when you were saying, okay, like you had enough, I had to be nobody but God because something hit me and said, I don't want this life. This is not the life for me. And it wasn't too long after that, thanks be to God, I got saved.
Amen.
I got saved.
Amen.
But I tell you, riveting, riveting, absolutely riveting. Everybody go and get a copy for your mama, for your sister, for your brother, for your uncle, for your aunt, for your niece, for your nephew, for your cousin, everybody. It is time for the world to be saved. I mean, like Pastor Rebecca Sanders, stone out saved. For Jesus, it's time.
Right.
We need to be delivered. We need to be healed. We do need to be set free, because how else are we going to further go and do the work of the Lord?
That's
so I tell you, this
That's
is an awesome, awesome opportunity for me to have had the honor and the privilege to sit back and to read the story, to be able to, you know, read and learn more about you and the man fast and all that God has given you. I mean, what a mission. What an assignment.
Amen.
This is absolutely awesome. So, yes, I'm excited. And I think, like I said, there's a few questions, but I won't go there until Pastor Rebecca read the book. So, in conclusion, again, in regards to a brief review today, people of God, buy the book. It's worth every penny. It's worth the investment. It is worth the contribution to Melissa Yule Miller. It's worth it, and for the ministry in which God is calling her to do, so she can continue to upkeep and maintenance that which God has put into her hands. It's well worth it. Time well spent. Time very well spent. So exciting. Like I said, looking forward to the remaining series of this extraordinary family. And seeing how God is going to continue to unfold his glory in their lives, and not and in their lives, but in our lives, the realistic people who are living the real life.
Amen.
So, God bless you, Sister Melissa. I'll tell you.
Thank you. I'm excited. Well, you know what?
I want to piggyback
on that excitement, because you know, when I released this book, and believe me, that was some warfare, serious warfare.
Oh, I believe it.
And the message and the spirit of compromise that kept attacking to just throw a little bit of sex in there. And it was like I had to fight. And God brought other warriors alongside who interceded with me and held my hands up and were the wind in my back to help me. Because
praise
the enemy tried everything he could to crush this. But, you know, God also, when it came time to release the book, I couldn't just say, well, let's have a book party and eat some cake and wings.
Mm.
God, this you gave me this. You know, when you give a work, you give a complete work.
Amen.
And you have a plan for this book. And what he gave us is the concept called Covering Our Daughters, where a ministry will take this book and the women in the ministry will partner up with a young girl, 13 and up.
Amen.
And just buy the book for themselves, buy a copy for that girl, commit to reading with her, and be a voice and a platform and a sounding board to help her process and apply this message to her life.
Yes.
And then ongoing, you mentor her, you pray for her, you be available if she gets in a situation like in the book and she's tempted and she's getting ready to make, she can call you.
Amen.
You've committed to pray for her. You've committed to be there for her. You've
Amen.
Committed to go long and deep. For if, even when she goes to college, she can call you and she knows you're praying. And she knows you're going to keep her accountable. And you
That's
believe God to give you wisdom for that girl. If we would do that, because what we've learned about abstinence messages and all the abstinence classes is that one time at 13 doesn't do it.
That's right.
You know, once they're 16 and 19, they're dealing with a very different dynamic.
That's right.
And they need more. It's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing dialogue, and the message changes as they grow and their needs change.
Amen.
So this will challenge us as the women of God to be like Ruth. I mean, be like Naomi was to Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
We can be
Amen.
A teacher of good things to our daughters instead of sucking our teeth and rolling our eyes when she comes to church.
Oh, Jesus,
with
come
her behind hanging out.
we can actually do something. We can't save the world. We can't save our own community, but you can do one.
Amen. Start right where you are, your own Samaria. So what I'm hearing, is a chain of Manifest Ministries.
Well, it's awesome. And then with this book, with Trinity's Hope, this is a ministry tool that
you will use
to learn yourself and then to support a girl.
Yes.
Now, you said, one of the things you said, and I hear this all the time, if I had had this when I was 16.
Lord have mercy.
If I had, my life would be so different. You have the opportunity to sow this into the life of a 16-year-old so
Amen.
She can fulfill her purpose and not forfeit her destiny for a moment of indiscretion.
Amen.
You can
help her. And we will take this up
as churches and do it. You can do it with men. You can do it with boys. Sister Valerie, a guy can read this and get blessed just like a girl, right?
That's right. That's right. Because the two main characters were male and female. And it focused on the two main characters, the male and the female. Absolutely. Building that firm foundation up through the way of God, through God's eyes. God's will being done in their lives. Absolutely. It's for A and B, for boy and girl. Yes, it is. Male and female alike.
And that's why I call it a relationship novel.
Yes.
And not a romance novel. Because a 19-year-old guy may not want to read a romance novel.
Yes.
But if he's liking a girl in church, you'll need to know how to do the relationship right.
If he'll be like me, I'll tell you, he'll read it in less than 24 hours.
Amen.
You know, as a confirmation, my 19-year-old son. Bless God.
Well, thank you so much, Minister Valerie Alley, for that review. I mean, praise God from whom all blessings flow. I've been blessed by the excitement and the zeal that you have for the book, Trinity's Hope. I said Destiny's Hope earlier, but Trinity's Hope, and that it is a book, a great book that can be read by both boys and girls, men and women, and there's a change the way that they do relationships. I thank you also for your testimony, amen, and everything that you share. You know, it's amazing how much has come out, even as a result of having Melissa on the show. We often have broadcasts here. You know, it is ministry. It definitely is ministry. Within the chat room, there's some people in the chat room who were asking some questions. So I had stepped down and gone into the chat room for a minute. I want to again thank Melissa. We're with the author, Melissa Ewell Miller, who is the author of Trinity's Hope, and she's also the founder of Man Fast, which is taking the fast. An absolute fast from sexual sin. And women can participate in the man fast. And for our guests in the chat room, Black Free Thinkers, and also there was another guest in the chat room, I just want to invite you to listen to the archives at blogtalkradio.com for anybody who just tuned in /power. So many people are on the switchboard. So many people tuned in while you guys were doing the review. And I just thank you, Minister Valerie, for the review. We have about half an hour left in the broadcast. I do want to get Pastor Anthony on. He's been on standby with the marriage moments. So out of obedience, because I know that the Lord does have something to speak regarding marriage.
Amen.
And I know it's going to line up with everything that we've been talking about, because that's how the Spirit flows. So
Amen.
I just thank God. And I thank you, Melissa, for being with me on today. We do have a hand raised. So just before I bring Pastor Anthony on the broadcast, I'm going to take a call, and then we're going to bring Pastor Anthony on with the marriage moment. Area code 973.
Hi, Pastor Rebecca. This is Tina. How are you today? Hi. Praise God. I'm going to make it quick. I just wanted to say this. I came on. I was able to listen to most of it. I didn't get the beginning, but I just want to say to Melissa, this is awesome what you're doing for the young ladies, for the young men. Minister Allen, when you came in with your review, that was awesome. And for a woman who is now 40 years old, and I have taken a man fast for a few years, it's not an easy thing to do, but it's something that God has me to do. So I want to encourage anyone that's out there that's thinking that you can't take a time in your life and say, okay, this is a sexual sin. You're not going to do this. You're just going to wait for that man to come. You're going to have God bring it to you. You can do it. You can. I just want to encourage anyone today. I'm 40. I'm doing it.
Amen.
I'm doing it. So I'm telling my story. I'm 40 and I'm doing it. So anyone out there that may feel different, may feel like, okay, well, I'm too old. No, you're doing this for Christ. You're doing this for God. You're just not doing it for yourself. You have to wait for that person to come that God's going to send you. So don't think mm-hmm. that sex is going to bring someone to you or laying down with someone. No, that's not the case. So I just wanted to encourage anyone today and just tell what I'm doing so maybe someone can listen and say that it's okay. Amen.
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 You know, I'm going to say this real quick. You know, I tell the young ladies in my man fast, you know, sometimes they ask the question, why is it? What's the big deal? You know, everybody does it. And you know what I tell them? The Lord gave me this revelation about Esther. You know, she went through a season of preparation before she was able to go before the king. But when the attack against her people was unveiled and discovered, you know, she was the only person in the entire kingdom that was able to go and petition the king on behalf of the lives of her people. The enemy wanted to annihilate them, and she would have been killed as well. And for some of us, we have to realize we are the only Esther in our family. That once we have a connection with God, we can petition the king on behalf of our sisters and our cousins and our church members who are slipping the slide. We are the only Esther for some of us in a generation. You're the only one that has that kind of access to the king. So if you're not walking right and living right, then people can't get the deliverance that they need. Amen?
Amen.
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 Thank you so much for that.
God gave
you a totally agree
access that to the king.
That we have to have, we have to be living testimonies. We have to be epistles because we're the only Bibles that a lot of our relatives are going to read. And when they look at our lives, and even the people in the world who are not Christians, when they look on our lives, they must see Jesus.
Amen.
It's
crucial.
So, Tina, thank you for calling in with that testimony. I really appreciate you calling in and letting us know that you're on a man fast. And how long will your fast last? Because Black Free Thinker in the chat room was asking why we even need a man fast. He said he's never eaten snake, so he doesn't need to fast for snake. And we as Christians, we should not have had to even begin to fornicate or have a taste of sex. So why do we have to fast from sex? But what we have to... The Black Free Thinker, I just want to say this to you. You have to realize that we have not been Christian all of our lives, that we become born again Christians. And a lot of us, before we get to the altar, before we get to the confession of repenting from our sins and receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have already tasted sex, have already indulged in sex, and have a sexual history. So now it comes to reversing that and just turning it around and living our lives according to the will and plan of God, which is better for us than just laying down with every Tom, Dick, and Rabu or Sally or Sue, even in today's society.
Amen.
And just saying, you know what, I'm going to do things God's way, and I'm going to live my life God's way. So I would like to continue with this, but I really do want to just basically move on. I know it's been a hot topic for today and last week, too. That's why I asked Melissa to come back, and I'm inviting Melissa to come back again. And then next week, even, we'll continue to talk about this topic because it is a hot topic, and we want to talk about what Black Free Thinker was saying. Why do we constantly go against the word of God and keep having sex? So let's let that be a question for next week. You know, with everything that God has given Melissa to do, why do we continually disobey God when we know that God has told us what not to do? That's the question that we want to entertain on next week as we go forward. So God bless you, Melissa. I thank you so much for being with us again.
Amen.
Thank you so much for obeying God, Pastor Rebecca, because truly, this is an answer to prayer. This is God saying to you, I'm going to give everything you need, everything you need. And this is a confirmation. It's a real life. Put my hands on, touch it, feel it, taste it. Answer from God, and I thank God for you. Thank God for Valerie. Thank God for people that are obedient to the presence of God. Praise God. Amen. Bless you. Praise God. Amen.
We're connected, so keep the information coming. You know, inbox me, keep me posted on everything that's going on. I continue to announce it. And again, let me know when you're ready to come back, and we'll have you back, like, to the conference and whatever you need. You know, just let me know.
Amen.
And if I can do it, then I'm there for you.
Amen.
And I'm
And we will talk. We will talk. You know, I told you that your empowerment messages have become a part of my daily filling up on the word, and just you sitting there ministering to me, you literally are pouring strength in me.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. The things that you're saying are exactly what I need to hear. Exactly.
Amen.
You know, this is a big mission. This is a big vision, and I have to constantly remind myself that this work belongs to the Lord, and not to get stressed and overburdened. And people like you, ministry, voices like you, are keeping me in the place where I need to be so that I can fulfill this call. So you have a definite role in this, whether you realize it or not, and I'm so thankful for you.
Amen.
So I'm going to go. My girls are starting to show up. And I'm going to be in touch with you. God bless everyone. Please, if you need to talk to me, ask me questions. You can get my information on Facebook or the ManFast site. I'd be glad to talk to you. So I want you all to have a blessed day. I'm going to take my leave, try to listen in to the rest of the conversation as I prepare for class. But I just praise God for you, and I just want everybody to be blessed. And please
Amen.
Pray for
Amen.
Me.
Again.
Pray for me.
And again, your website, one more time.
www.manfast.net, manfast.net.
Amen. Praise God. Well, let's praise
Amen.
The Lord. Let's just take a second.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Bless you, Jesus. Bless
Amen.
Your wonderful
well,
name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes,
God,
yes.
My wonderful husband, on the new of this, he's the one told us to keep going because he knew that this information needed to be heard. I want to bring in my wonderful, wonderful husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons, for the marriage moment. God bless you, honey. You're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Amen. I'm just so blessed by the broadcast today. I'm going to get right into the marriage moment, but I'm still moved kind of by what one of your listeners said about why can't we just be obedient to the word of God. We need to recognize, and you and I can testify to this, that holiness is a process. It's amazing how, you know, God, who says those who are in Christ are new creations, the old is gone, the new has come. I didn't grow up in the church, but as I came into the things of God, I really took the word at face value and began to apply the principles in the word of God to my life, and I've seen a miraculous change. But it's amazing, as your guest was saying, we need more than information. We need more than just, you know, to take the lid off of it. We need to practice what we're preaching. So I thank God that, you know, God has given her the boldness and the courage to move forward. Because, again, Pastor Becca, you say it is a challenge for the church. We have so much that God is contending in our spirit. But it's amazing how God has given her a platform to do this. The sexual immorality is really a big problem in God's church.
Yes, it is, honey. And I just, I tell you, I thank you for allowing us to continue to move forward on the topic because God just wanted us to speak, you know. And every time we start talking about this topic, you know, it ruffles some feathers. But we know that we can do all things through Christ and that God does heal us. He is our ultimate healer. So I just thank God for the blood of Jesus that was shed so that we can begin to be healed. And it is a process sometimes that sometimes we need to continue to have our minds renewed so that we can walk into the fullness of life. So I just praise God for Melissa and what she's doing and the ministry that the Lord has put into her hands.
Amen. The curse really is broken. To God be the glory. The curse is broken. I just want to come. I know we're in the spirit today because as she kept referring to the garden, the creation of Adam and Eve, that's what God has led me to today. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. Verse 28 says, and God blessed them and gave, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So as we can see the account of Genesis 1 and 2, where God created the heavens and the earth, then he creates man, and then God rested, and he said it was all good as he gave us this world in which we live. God saw that it was all good. And Pastor Rebecca, I'm just here to talk to that couple today who may be off track just a little bit, because marriage is good, and marriage is a good thing. But I see the original plan that God had for man and woman, and it was wonderful up until chapter 3, until the serpent entered the picture and deceived the man and the woman. And sometimes that happened in our marriages. Like, example, our cars. Sometimes our cars, our vehicles that we drive, if they hit enough potholes or if they drive for long periods of time, sometimes those potholes get that car out of alignment. And the car either pulls to the left or the right, but it has a hard time driving straight. And sometimes our marriage is going to get off track like that. And I'm here to encourage someone today. If your marriage is veering to the left or the right, and you know that it's not where it should be, it's not on the course that God ordained it to be on, I'm here to tell you that God is able and God can restore. He's a restoring God, and I'm here to speak to that couple today. Very quickly, Pastor Rebecca, 3 points I want to lift up. Three words that come to my mind: repent, remove, recommit. First of all, we need to repent to one another. Sometimes in marriages we, you know, just with the busyness and pressures of life, sometimes our tones are sharp with one another towards each other. We have arguments with one another. We have difference of opinions, and sometimes we have heated discussions or things just get out of hand. And in those moments, we got to find ourselves repenting, either apologizing or asking for forgiveness. It's one of those things where "I'm sorry" is a wonderful, wonderful cure in marriage. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. And sometimes our marriages get off course because we go on weeks and months and sometimes way down the road, and we still have aught in our heart toward our spouse which offended us with an action or with something they said, or maybe they cursed us out, or maybe even they got to the place where they put their hands on one another. And you and I strongly believe that that is definitely a no-no. It's one of those things, ladies, if you're in this faith or if you're putting your hands on that husband, just stop it. And man of God, if that's you, let me convict you through the power of the Holy Spirit today and just cease that nonsense. So that's one way we can get off track and get back on track with true repentance. That means to turn from, talk it out, effective communication, and just say, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. I was a little antsy today. I was a little frustrated. I'm not really angry at you, but I was just taking out my frustration on you, and that anger was not meant towards you." So first of all, we need to repent. Secondly, we need to remove whatever it is that got us off track. We need to remove whatever it is that got us off track. And Pastor Rebecca and our audience today, if we don't remove it, it will become a stronghold in our marriages. If we don't get to the root of the problem, not just dealing with symptoms and surface stuff, but if we don't get to the root of why we're at each other's throats or why we're not getting along these days, or why sometimes our marriage is not what it was at the outset. Just like in the garden, they got off track and God had to put them back on track. We need to remove it, face it, fix it, whatever that thing is. It can be a family member. It can be friends. It can be the pressures of bills and raising children. Whatever it is, put it on the table, bring that thing to the light, and remove it from your marriage, because it's hindering your growth. It's hindering what you guys can be and all that you can be for God, because marriage is truly a ministry and you can move forward with power and authority, but you got to remove the defiled thing that God will not bless if it's still in your presence. And finally, recommitment. Recommit to one another. Marriage, I strongly believe, is built on trust, support, and confidence in one another. Trust, mutual support, and confidence and belief in one another. We need that. The word says two are better than one. If one can send 10,000 to flight, two can send a zillion to flight. So So we need to have each other's back. And if we got off track somehow, just like that wheel alignment, need to go to the body shop, get up on that lift, and have that those wheels realigned. We need to get back in order with God and allow us to recommit to one another, take those marriage vows seriously, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, until death do us part, and really commit and hold those wedding vows seriously and sacred, because it's a covenant that we have made with one another. But the real enemy is trying to be a wrench in your machine, and the real enemy is a great deceiver. So I'm just here to encourage that couple today, Pastor Rebecca, that may have gotten off track, and I'm here to tell you today, through repentance, through removing it, and through recommitment, you can get your marriage back on track. I always say to people all the time, it's not how we start, but it's how we finish that count. To God be the glory.
My God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And that's powerful, Pastor Anthony. You know, it's just so many times that we've had to go through that very same process. People think we are going on, you and I are going on 15 years. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And people think that marriage is easy. Or maybe they think that it's impossible to turn around a marriage that's not going so well, you know. But the thing about it is that we can make marriage work, or marriage can work. And one thing that you said so crucial is that we have to face that thing. We have to deal with whatever it is that's gone awry, whatever it is that's causing problems. It could be you. You know, a lot of times we're pointing a finger at somebody else when it's really us, you know. So we really have to do some self-examination and look at ourselves and say, am I the problem here? I'm asking God to fix my husband, or I'm asking God to fix my wife, but is it me? And Pastor Emily, that's in line with what we were talking about on today, that, you know, with the man fast and, you know, talking with Melissa Ewell Miller, that we have to begin to fix ourselves, not looking just simply to get married so that we can have sex, but fix ourselves first so that when we do get married, we can have the type of intimacy and worship to God that he ordained for us to have. In other words, if I'm all broken and messed up and confused and shattered on the inside, then I cannot bring anything of substance to the table, and our marriage won't work. You and I know we both had problems in our marriage because I was molested, because I was abandoned, you know, because my daddy wasn't there, because some older boy took advantage of me when I was a young girl, you know, because I was pregnant at 14, 15 years old, you know. I went through a lot, and I had no trust because I was cheated on and lied to. I had no trust in men, and you took the brunt of that, being my new husband. You know, we had our first fight. We had a fight when we were courting, and then we had our first big fight being married on our honeymoon because I flipped on you. You didn't know if you were with Dr. Jekyll or Mrs. Hyde, you know, and then we came home, and those fights, arguments continued to the point where I wanted to get aggressive and literally fight. And then I had to look at the fact that it was me, you know. I'm looking at you to make me happy, but you didn't have the capacity or the power to make me happy. But it was me and my issues that had not been dealt with. And Pastor Emily, you know, you had to live with me 7 years, married to me 7 years, before the Lord showed me my ugly self, my messed up self, my confused self, and my hurting self. And he showed me all of that, and then I had to give it to him and let him begin to heal me. So that's just so powerful what you're saying, that there are problems in marriage, and those problems sometimes often stem from some stuff that happened before we actually get married. So fix it, you know, face it. Now that you're married, a lot of you say, well, that's great, I'm married now, and I'm having a hard time. But now that you're married, look at that thing, you know, communicate with your spouse, like Pastor Anthony said. Look at the problem. See if you're the problem. And then begin to try to fix the problem, you know, starting with you. Listen, if you're having a problem with your marriage, in your marriage, your behavior, if you change your behavior, your husband will come around. You might say, well, Pastor Rebecca, it's not my fault, it's his fault. But a kind word turns away wrath, right? So if you're dealing with him with kindness and with love, guess what?
he is not going to be able to help but love you back. I mean, Pastor Amner, am I talking right?
Oh, you're talking real right, if that's correct grammar. Because, you know, again, he's a deceiver. And he's back snickering with his demons because sometimes the word divorce is thrown around in our marriages. And it doesn't have to be that way. You can get your marriage on sound footing. But as you said, Pastor Rebecca, we came from dysfunction. I mean deep dysfunction. And as your callers were saying earlier, we need to be totally healed and totally delivered. He told the woman, you know, caught in adultery, he said, leave your life for sin. The woman at the well who had this sick man that was not her husband, in so many words, that's what Jesus was saying to her. You have five husbands. This next marriage is not going to work either. You need to get your act together. The woman with the alabaster box, the same thing. We need total healing in every area of life. And I came from a father who was abusive to my mother. It was five boys and three girls. And as I heard some of your guest testimony today, we came to a Jesus that is able to heal through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why it grieves me like the heart of some of your guests that we can sit up under all this anointing and power and authority and might, have the greatest power within us than he that is in this world, and still not get truly set free. And God is saying enough. The curse has been broken. You have more than enough ability to get truly delivered and set free. So I thank God for you being committed to these broadcasts. Again, we're the kind of pastors that are transparent. A lot of people don't think pastors have gone through anything because we're holy today. But as you just said, we had to pour out the liquor. We had to stop drinking. We put down marijuana and cocaine and fornication. So we know what true deliverance looks and tastes and feels like. So we don't get on here saying that it's a pie in the sky, wishful thinking, or something that is so far off. But we know that true deliverance can come to you and your home, and happiness and well-being and true prosperity await you if you really line up with the word of God and let God be God in your life. So just let go and let God today.
Amen. That's it right there. And I pray that you're listening in the chat room. Listen, stop playing with God. You know, we have some people in the chat room playing with God. And, you know, I just want to say, you know, you just came to the right place at the right time because we're not playing. You know, we're serious. God changes lives. He saves souls. He saves marriages. And, you know, we're not here to argue with you. You know, if you don't believe or you don't want to believe, that's fine. You know, our job is to preach the gospel, and that's what we do. But we're here to tell you that God can turn your life around. God can change your life. He can make your marriage happy. He can take your misery and give you some joy. You know, and that marriage can be happy. You can be successful in marriage. You don't have to end up in divorce court. You know, if we just obey, and obedience is a word, Pastor Anthony, that a lot of people don't want to hear. You know, that God is calling us to obey. You know, we want the heaven. We want the riches. We want the blessings. We want God to bless us, but we don't want to obey God. And what I'm saying here today is if you're a Christian, you can turn your marriage around. If you're a Christian, you can stop being disobedient to God. If you are a born-again Christian, you have the power within you to stop any kind of sin, whether it's sin and not submitting to your husband, whether it's sexual sin, whatever it is. If you're a Christian, you can stop it because you have the power already on the inside of you to do it. It's just a choice that you make. And Pastor Anthony, you talk about choose, change, and commitment, where we make a choice to obey God. And even in our marriages, we have to choose to obey God. Even when it comes to sexual sin, we have to choose to obey God. Listen, there are consequences if you make the wrong choice. And, you know, Pastor Anthony, talk a little bit about how in marriage even we could be so heated in the argument that we can choose, make the choice, and the right choice will actually end that argument.
Amen. You know, I heard it once early on in our marriage at a marriage retreat. The host in front of the room said, do you want to be righteous or right? And it's amazing how sometimes pride and egos and stubbornness comes in there. Because you was a strong woman when I met you. You were independent when I met you. Now God is saying, you know, and the two shall become one flesh. That is a challenge. But it's in the Word of God because it's a possibility. But you got to allow your will to yield and His will to be done. So the two can really become one flesh. But as you just said, we need to just kind of back up and yield to the Spirit and power of God. There were times where we've had to bite our tongues in our marriage. There were times where we could not speak what the first thing came to our mind. There were times where we had to go into another room and cool off. You know, there were times you don't want to say something you're going to regret, because once it's out, brother, once it's out, my sister, once it's out of your mouth and it did some damage, it's hard to bring those hurting words back. So in that heated discussion sometimes, you need to regroup and rethink before it gets totally out of hand. And it just takes one, Pastor Rebecca, to diffuse an argument. It just takes one out of it too. But if it keeps escalating, you know, that's pride and that stubbornness settling in. So we really can rescue our marriages. And as you just said, you always going to have naysayers. You're going to have haters. You're going to have those who think God is a joke. But God is not mocked. And that comes with the territory. And one of your callers said it earlier. The young lady said, well, so many people are doing it. What makes it wrong? Guess what? With God, you're with the majority, so you might as well hook up with God.
Amen. 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 Just because people are doing it does not make it right. I think that's the lie that the devil feeds so many people, that everybody else is doing it. Everybody else in the church is in sin. Why don't you just go ahead and why do you have to be the pride? You know, and the devil always, that's the lie, like Sister Melissa said earlier, that he told Eve in the garden that you're being deprived of something, that you're missing out on something. And we just thank God. I thank God for marriage. And I thank God for Melissa's ministry that helps us get right, to be prepared for marriage. And Pastor Emily, I thank God for you, my husband, my wonderful husband of the past 15 years. I thank God for Jesus. And I thank God for everybody who's listening on today. It's amazing. We only have 4 minutes left. And I want to just thank everybody for listening. And go to blogtalkradio.com/power to listen to the whole show. But Pastor Emily, I want you to just give us a final word, you know, just on marriage. What is it that God is the most pressing thing that God would say from your heart to our listeners pertaining to marriage?
I said it, I think, a couple of weeks ago, let your light so shine that men may glorify your Father in heaven. The generation coming behind us, those of us, you know, we're in our 40s, but the generation coming behind us really needs to see a godly marriage working. They physically need to see, those who are not yet spiritually mature, they need to see a godly marriage working. And the way our marriages are falling sometimes in our mega church or our smaller churches or our mid-sized churches, sometimes the way people, the world is seeing Christian marriages go astray, sometimes the way television and movies are depicting Christian marriages is not holy and it's not wholesome. So the people that you have the chance to minister to, when they see you and your wife getting along, when they see you and your husband really coming on one accord, when they physically see you try to do the best you can to provide for your family and raise your children, and the two of you are really in agreement, like Amos 3:3 says, and walking on one accord, that's when they'll aspire to really get and want what God has ordained. God has ordained marriage. I know we're living in a culture that's literally tearing down the Constitution and the institution of marriage. But regardless of what we see on our sitcoms, regardless what's on our big screens and our plasma TV sets, regardless how many jokes and even Christian marriages that are falling and faltering, the ones that are working is what God will use to bring His name glory. So, again, we going back to your guest, sometimes our marriages are the only Esthers that our families will see. So I thank God, Pastor Rebecca, that our families are looking to us, our church is looking to us, our children are looking to us, and we know that God won't put on you more than what you can bear. So take your marriage seriously and know that the enemy is against your marriage, but don't allow the devil to get a foothold in your marriage, and keep your marriage strong by the word of God. As you said, if you build it on the rock of the word, when the storms come, your marriage will stand the test of time.
My God, if you build, say that last sentence again. I need to hear that again.
Luke chapter 7, if you build your house on the sand, that means the things of this world, your marriage probably will fall. But if you build your house, meaning your marriage and your family, on a solid rock of the teachings of Jesus Christ, the storms will come, hard times will come, persecution will come, but Jesus said himself that your house and your marriage will stand the trial and the test that it faces.
My God, hallelujah, amen. That's the truth. I'm here to testify. God is just so good, and it's just not enough time to be able to tell you how he has done what he's done in our marriage. 15 years, my God, 15 wonderful years with this man of God, and I just thank God for him. It hasn't always been easy, but it's definitely been a growing experience, and I thank God that he's taking us from his glory to his glory, and you can do it. I want to encourage all of you out there who are married. For those of you who are streaming, we're going off the air. God bless you. Tune in again next week to Woman right here on blogtalkradio.com/power. But I want to encourage all of you out there who are married, Melissa and Kathy and Ray and all of our listeners who are married right now, listening to the sound of my voice, listen. The Lord just wants me to say to you right now to endure the hardness like good soldiers in his army. God says he knows exactly what you're going through, even in your marriages. And God is saying, don't look to the left or to the right, but continue to keep your eyes stayed and fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Pistis. God says he wants you to have a conviction in your heart that what he has said that you shall have on the day that you stood up to marry each other shall be, and that there is no weapon formed against you or your marriage that can prosper. Yes, the weapon will be formed, and you will go through hard times, and there will be times when you feel like giving up. But God is saying to stay encouraged and to stay on the battlefield for marriage. He has ordained you to be married to the person that you are married to on today. The devil is a liar. The devil's trying to get you to entertain other options. God said there is no other option that he would have you to entertain in this season in your life, in this season in your marriage. God says if you can get through this, and you can, and if you continue to move forward, if you continue to press through the pressure, God says you're going to come out like gold, and your marriage is going to be put up before the world to be manifested for his glory, that people will see his glory in your marriage. So stay on the battlefield. There are many of you listening to my voice right now who will be doing just what Pastor Anthony and I are doing. You will be ministering to people about marriage and about the beauty of marriage and about how wonderful and awesome it is. And God says that he's restoring some things in your marriage, some things that the devil would make you want to believe that are not coming back. God says, look again, check again. Just like when Elijah said it was going to rain, the Lord told the man of God that it was going to rain, and he told the servant to go out and look, and the servant came back, and he came back and said, I don't see any rain, I see nothing. He said, go again, 7 times. And that's what God is saying, look again, keep looking, 7 times. And on the 7th time, there will be completion. God is bringing completion to some things, and he just wants me to speak that to you. Endure. Stand. Let the fruit of the Spirit be manifested in your marriage. Continue to love on each other. Continue to care for and minister to each other. And continue to hold fast to God's unchanging word, because his word will not fail you. God's word is not coming back void. And I just heard the Lord just speaking those words through my spirit. I just want to pour out to all the married couples, hallelujah. And look, praise God in your house. Praise him in your home. Don't wait to get to church. Praise God anyhow. Praise God in spite of what's going on, and praise God because of the struggle. Because after the struggle's over, God's going to get the glory. After you have suffered for a little while, God's going to perfect you and establish you, and he's going to set you up for the world to see his glory. Hold on, press on, and keep moving forward in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Emily, we're out of time. Not out of words, but we're out of time. Did you have anything else?
No, no. That was a powerful prophetic utterance over our marriages. We're living in a day where we need that prophetic word and to hear from the Lord. And I thank God that he called you to be a prophet in this hour, because you are speaking into the life of marriages. And as you said, God will open doors that no man can shut. And those who endure hardness as a good soldier, the race will be given to them, where they'll be put before great men, because their marriage is going to be a gift to the world. So I thank God that they will make room for them if they endure. Their children will be blessed. Every endeavor will be blessed, because the Bible says he who finds a wife has found a good thing and finds favor with God. And I know as a man of God, I've seen the favor all my life because I've been with you. So I thank God for the wives who are listening today. I thank God for the husbands that are trying with everything in them to be husbands and fathers. And I just thank God, Pastor Rebecca, for you, for allowing God to use you in this capacity, because this ministry is much needed.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. God bless you, honey, and I'm going to close the show on those words. I'm going to close out today. I'm not going to open the switchboard. I want to thank everybody on the switchboard for tuning in. I want to thank all of you for calling in. Minister Valerie Allen, I love you. I just love you. I thank you for being there. I thank you for posting the broadcast on our pages, on the Women's Women Empowerment Group, and on the on my page and on your page. I thank you for your diligence and for your commitment in this season. You'll never know how much it means to me, because there's some things I just can't tell. Kathy and Ray, God bless you. Kathy and Ray Jones, thank you for your diligence and listening. Know that I love you both. Know that you are a blessing in my life. My mother, who's listening, Tina Lane, Melissa Ewell, Miller, God bless you. Thank you all, and everybody who tunes in. Tell somebody about Woman to Woman. Honey, thank you for being by my side, for being my husband, and I love you. That's it for the Woman to Woman show. Know that I love you, and know that God loves you. Go in peace and serve the Lord. And we're going to just play a little bit of there's something about that name, Jesus, as we go off the air. God bless you.
Don't give up.
God's not real. Some people say.
Some people say.
But
Yeah. It is a sweet, sweeter than the honey.